So my perception of what our community can do and what's possible is what I saw every day. And I think when I first started, it was kind of like, how can I get this education into the homes of the people who won't walk to the bank and ask for help because the bank can't give you the resources to do it. They sell you products, not education. And so we started out putting our programs in school systems, in prison systems. But I realized when we were teaching kids, you can't just impact the life of a kid without changing the lives of their parents. We're giving you the mentality shift that you need to holistically look at your life and your money completely different, because you shouldn't have to walk on the 27th floor where I work to know how to grow your wealth, preserve your wealth, and protect it. We don't talk about protecting our wealth in the Black community because we don't even think we have it. So let's address why you think you don't have it, and let's talk about how Black people have trillions of dollars of buying power. We are not broke. We keep America going. If there were no Black people spending their money, there is no stock market. So for me, REITs are for the people who say, I want to do something, but I don't have a lot. Cool, let's start with $10. And you're gonna get passive income. Now, how big or how small your passive income is dictated by what you commit to the process. You can't say it's a gamble unless you have the mentality of somebody who wants to gamble. I'm not a gambler. The biggest risk I take is on Ashley Marie Fox running my company. Empathy is more riskier than the stocks that I buy. But again, it's all about perception and how you look at it.
Hey, wait. I know you want to watch this next video, but listen, if you are an entrepreneur, business coach, business consultant, or a small business owner who has a story and wants to learn how to create multiple streams of income from your story, I need you to text me right now, my book, to 646-687-4152. That is my personal number. I have been an author for over 12 years. I've written 10 books. Four of them have been bestsellers, and I've sold over 100,000 books. But I've also helped a lot of my clients take their expertise and put it into a story, then create multiple streams of income from that. So I want to help you do the same thing. So text my book to 646-687-4152. All right, let's go back to the video. So welcome to another awesome episode of Inside the Vault with Ash Cash, the greatest money mindset show on the planet, in a nation boasting the world's largest economy. Over 40 million of our fellow citizens are living in poverty, struggling to survive on meager incomes that have stagnated for decades, while the wealthiest 1% control over 30% of the nation's wealth. The typical American household scrapes by on a median income of just $70,000 per year, an amount that fails to keep pace with the skyrocketing cost of housing, healthcare, and education. This alarming state of affairs begs the question, how did we arrive at this point? And more importantly, what can be done to empower the 99% and restore the promise of economic prosperity for all? To shed light on this crisis and provide a pathway forward, we have the financial education specialist, Ashley Fox, to join us today, a former Wall Street analyst and award-winning financial expert on a mission to create more accessible investing education for the 99% Wall Street often overlooks. As someone who has dedicated her career to helping everyday Americans navigate the treacherous waters of personal finance, her insights could not be more vital or timely. The future of American dreams hangs in the balance. Let's find out what we can do to save it. Ladies and gentlemen, round of applause for Miss Ashley Fox.
I am well. You got me juiced up. Thank you.
Blessings. No, my pleasure.
You got to intro me all the time.
Look. You know, I always want to set the tone, right? I want to set the tone because I think first and foremost, you know, what you do, you know, I'm going to just say for the culture is like well needed. You know, I think that there's a lot of information that you give You know, as it relates to financial literacy, as it relates to investing, you know, even the way you tie in pop culture to it is needed. It's getting a lot of people who are normally not investors into the game. And then your ability to be able to build a community of people who are like literally, I know people throw around, hey, they want to close the wealth gap or, you know, help people build generational wealth. But you have been on the forefront of being able to do that in a tangible way, right? That is not just a talking point, but you have the data, you have the numbers, you have a lot to kind of show like, nah, we do this on a real level. And so I'm excited to have this conversation. But before we even start with any of that, in your words, who is Ashley Fox?
So I am a beautiful being in this human experience.
Yes.
They call me Ashley Marie Fox, though. But I'm a former Wall Street analyst. I went to the best HBCU in the world, Howard University, majored in finance, worked on Wall Street. And I actually didn't want to be an entrepreneur. I didn't want to change the world. I just wanted to be a profound Black woman on Wall Street. Graduated Howard, had 4 internships while at Howard, 3 of them at Wall Street banks, landed my dream career working with rich people. So if you had at least $25 million or more, our job was to help you manage your wealth, grow your wealth, protect your wealth, pass down your wealth. And I got to see the ins and outs of what wealthy people do. So my perception of what our community can do and what's possible is what I saw every day. And so I didn't grow up with a lot of money. I was the first person in my immediate family to graduate from college. I was making more money than both my parents in my early 20s. But I think being around wealthy people all day made me, one, realize I could do it, and two, that investing is a standard. And so going home to Philly, where I'm from, people thought I was rich. So now I'm making the Wall Street money. I'm traveling the world. But I didn't really have money. I had money in the eyes of a college graduate who had a good job and had a good resume, but I wanted Wall Street wealth. And so I ended up leaving my Wall Street job with the intent to be the universal language that bridges Wall Street knowledge to the everyday person because of what I experienced, what I have done, to now build a company called Empify, which is a word empower and modify merge together, where building wealth isn't really just about money, right? You can learn a lot about finance. You can Google finance. It's a day and age where people want to build wealth, but it's about the mindset shift. And I think Empify was created to strengthen the mind, grow the mind so that we could grow your bank account. Because giving the world a bunch of knowledge isn't going to close a wealth gap. And so we focus on providing financial education to adults and children. We've been in school systems, prison systems, in the homes of individuals. We have our tech platform, the Wealth Builders Community app, which I like to call like the Netflix of finance, where adults have access to over 250 hours of classes, tools, resources, the information that's not given to us in the school system, the information that is not talked about at the dinner table. We make it a topic of conversation in a safe space, giving people access to resources, but not just giving them the access, showing them how to do it, but also doing it with them.
Yeah, oof. I love it, right? It's a lot to unpack. You know, I want to start with Wall Street, right? Because not only is America built for white men, Wall Street specifically is built for white men. As a former banker myself, being in the wealth game, it was hard to navigate as a Black man. So I can only imagine how it is to navigate as a Black woman. Mm-hmm. Talk to me a little bit about that experience in Wall Street and how did managing money for wealthy individuals change how you view yourself and wealth?
So being a Black female on Wall Street, for me, I've learned years after 10 years of being not on Wall Street, for me, I have to have a big audacious goal and I gotta go after it. And it's not that the big audacious goal guides my life, it's who I have to become to hit that goal. So it's like I want one of the highest paying jobs out of school. That's either being an engineer or working on Wall Street with just a bachelor's degree. So I'm like, give me the money job. Like, so go do it. And I liked what it felt like. Like when you walked into this building, the clothes that you had to wear, it cultivated an energy inside of me like I want this. I deserve this. Now, there were parts of me, it was like, you know, I'm the only Black girl. I'm an analyst. I'm probably the lowest paid person on my floor. These people got billions of dollars. So there definitely was insecurity. Insecurity around, am I good enough? I don't fit in. I don't look like these people. But not once, and this is my experience, where I feel like I didn't belong, right? I felt in my head I knew I didn't belong, but I wasn't necessarily treated like I didn't belong. And I think so often we take the only black in a certain space and it doesn't uplift us, it diminishes us. And I think my own, you know, the only black girl, it made me think I was less than, but it's like, you can't tell me I'm less than when I'm sitting here in the bank accounts of billionaires. They got the same 24 hours as Ashley Fox. They might look a little different than me. They might've had a different opportunity, but what I gotta go through to get to that level, I can become a little bit more smarter, a little bit stronger, and I'ma figure this out. And so, while I beat myself up about not being good enough, not fitting in, I also don't like to be the super person in the room. So when they're traveling to Switzerland for the weekend, I'm like, well, where is Switzerland? They're going to the south of France for the summer. Like, well, where's Antibes? Where's Nice? So for me, success leaves clues. I follow the blueprint. So while I did feel insecure, I also followed the blueprint. So there was a certain life that came with having money. So the restaurants I would go to. I took my first trip to the south of France because I saw rich people doing it. Like, they rented a yacht. My yacht was smaller, but so for me, I'm really big on putting myself in a space of feeling like the woman I want to become. And what that did to me, it made me want to work harder, become smarter, but I was learning while I was in that environment. Like, I remember seeing our clients have multiple checking and savings accounts, but what they did, they titled them different names. So it's like, well, I got my one checking, my one saving with my one bank. I'm like, well, they got this account over here for school account. They're naming them. I'm like, well, let me go get another bank account and start naming it. And I'm seeing they're setting their money aside for different purposes versus putting it all together. They were investing in the stock market. I invested my first $300. They might have did $300 million. Mm-hmm. For me, it didn't bother me because I was playing the same game. Mm-hmm. And I knew if I started and I kept going, I would ultimately get to where they are. Mm-hmm. So while it did make me feel like I didn't belong, that was my own voice in my head telling me that. But in the same breath, it kind of was like, I deserve to be the wealthy client. After a while, when you start sitting in these meetings, you're reading what they're reading and like really just embodying this environment, I knew more about their money than what they did. Mm. I was curious around, how did you build the wealth? Right. I'm over here protecting it, making sure it doesn't go anywhere. We're growing it and passing it down. But it's like, how did you build this? Like, and I realized that while I had one of the highest paying jobs out of school, they all either invested in their own idea or somebody else's idea. And I went through everybody, like typing in names, looking at everybody. And it's like, well, what's my idea, right? And I always wanted to be a teacher, actually. I love math. I love business. I'm like, well, why not just major in finance? And I can make the money and have the fancy job. But I always wanted to be a teacher. And I realized that for something we're using every day of our life, why is it not taught in our school system? I only saw this information because I chose this career path. I wanted to be the best and have the best and get the best grades. And so now I'm around the best. But what about the 99% of people that don't even get to come to this floor because they got less than 25 million? Mm. And even from the 2 to 25 million, you were on the lower floors. Mm. But if you had less than a million, 2 million, you weren't even allowed in that building.
Right. You're not even on the floor.
So in my mind, it's kind of like, regardless, wealth doesn't have a color.
Yeah.
Therefore, if I follow this blueprint, what are they doing? What are they creating? I'm going to become this. Mm. And so through my becoming, I created Empify. And as I create Empify, as I get bigger, I teach. So like, I don't teach anything I don't do or live. Like, there's so many topics in finance. You know how to do this. I stay in my lane. Yeah. If I live it, then I teach it. Mm. But as I live it, I become more, I change, my money grows, everything around me grows. But it's like, okay, look, I'm gonna tell you the good, the bad, and the ugly that came with getting to this point. But now let me show you how I did it, and because I understand where you are with the people that I serve. So I would say, to sum it up, Wall Street, it changed my life because I just got exposed to stuff that like people just don't know. Like, when you have at least $25 million, you don't live the same when you make $2 million, which means you don't live the same if you're making $20,000. And so I think I adapted the mindset, the resources, and the tools. And it's like, okay, well, let me go build something that targets the 99%, because you're not going to find another black woman who has my experience, who has my heart, who wants to go out and teach this to the world.
Right. No, I love that. And you know, it's so important. It's like I love what you're saying, because, you know, as you're in these builders, it's almost like the Robin Hood model, right? Like I'm gonna take from the rich, but I'm gonna give it back to, you know, and I'm not gonna say poor, but give it back to the 99%, right? Mm-hmm. Because of the lack of knowledge and the lack of access to that knowledge, and taking that knowledge and then passing it on. What was sort of like the passion, or what was the Was it your background? Like what made you connected? Like what made you say, all right, I'm learning this from Wall Street and now I'm gonna take it back. Like where did that come from?
So, I mean, I'm 35 now and it's been 10 years. Mm-hmm. So I can tell you the story going backwards. Mm. So like, I remember listening to Steve Jobs, Stanford commencement speech, I believe. And he's like, you can never understand life when you're living it forward. Yeah. You can only understand it when you going back. I forgot the exact words, but yeah. Going backwards. So like, I could tell you all the pieces of my life that led me to who I am today. Mm-hmm. But in that moment, I didn't know. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't know what Empify was. If you read my journal in 2011, it was called It, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it was as if my life was, if I'm being honest, I actually always wanted to do investment banking on mm-hmm. Wall Street. Because that's the highest paying job. And yeah. So I wanted to do investment banking. I had an internship my junior year. I absolutely hated it. Mm-hmm. I made good money, bought my fancy purses, and I didn't get the opportunity. So I'm distraught because how dare you not give me the opportunity. But I also was not the best person at that internship. Mm-hmm. But if I would have took that opportunity, I would have never been in asset management. And I would have never been able to see what wealthy people do with their money. So I think I was meant to be in that role. But when I started to study our clients and read certain books, I started to think different. Mm. It wasn't like, I don't want a job. I want to be my own boss. Back then, entrepreneurship wasn't sexy.
Facts, yep.
Investing wasn't sexy.
Facts.
Instagram had just started.
Facts, yep.
So for me in that moment, it kind of was like, I'm going to just follow my heart.
Yeah.
And about 8-9 months of being on Wall Street, I wasn't happy. Mm. Like it was cool looking into the clients, the life I had. But I didn't have the desire to be the best. Like when I was at Howard, I cried when I got my first B. Mm-hmm. Like I want to intern. Like I was really focused. But mm-hmm. when I was on Wall Street, I didn't want to stay late. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to go above and beyond. And I'm sad because I know I can, but why don't I want to?
Right.
Now I know, fast forward to today, if I have that feeling, that means I got to go on to the next thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not where I belong. I need to be doing something more.
Yeah.
But after 8-9 months, I didn't want to be there and I didn't understand why. So when I left Wall Street, I followed my heart. I stopped listening to logic and I did what felt right because I didn't have a plan. I had $30,000. I just randomly got my real estate license because I guess I was going to do something with real estate. I don't know. But I was like, I'm going to figure this out because I knew if I stayed, I wouldn't have been happy. I thought about going to different parts of the bank and doing something else. But I just wasn't. I was looking for the answers, but I knew the answers couldn't be found on Wall Street. So I actually didn't leave to start a business. I left to follow my heart, to give something to the world, but I didn't know how, I didn't know what, I just knew I was gonna be the person to do it. Mm.
And you know, and this is almost like a diversion a little bit, but it's not. I hear this quote all the time when they say, you know, find something you love and you'll never work a day in your life. But also the importance, and your story just kind of reminded me the importance of really like following the flow, right? Mm-hmm. You know, tell God your plans and God's gonna laugh at you. And the fact that what you decided to start through just really just kind of following the flow of your life and listening to the signs, if you will, got you to this space where you have one of the largest communities, you know, in our culture, doing some phenomenal things. Talk to me a little bit about, you know, what Empify has been able to do for your members, and how, you know, how big have you grown in the years that you've been doing this?
So first, we started putting our programs in schools and prison systems. So we were in. We've partnered with over 100 different schools, organizations, companies all across the country. We've impacted the lives of over a million people. Our app now has members in over 22 different countries. So I think when I first started, it was kind of like, how can I get this education into the homes of the people who won't walk to the bank and ask for help because the bank can't give you the resources to do it? They sell you products, not education. And so we started out putting our programs in school systems, in prison systems. But I realized when we were teaching kids, you can't just impact the life of a kid without changing the lives of their parents.
Nice.
Because they can't open a brokerage account without the parent.
Yeah.
So if the parent's not on board, the kids at this point are more educated than the parents. So it's like we have to create some sort of intergenerational experience where we can impact the lives of the children. Because if we miss the kids, they're going to grow up to make the same mistakes we made as adults. Mm-hmm. And so we started to put programs in schools and prison systems, and we started to create resources for adults. Because I was a financial advisor for a while. But even when I built that business, it was like, I'm bigger than just meeting with people individually. I want to reach millions of people all over the world. And I can't do that as one person's advisor, because I can only talk to so many people a day. And so when COVID hit, though, so by this time, we had partnered, I think at that time, over 75 different schools or organizations. It was, there were companies and schools and like Africa reaching out. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, I realized I didn't know how to serve the world because the best way to thoroughly scale is technology. I didn't know anything about tech, yeah. But I knew the world was ready for financial education. There were schools paying me, Ashley, as a consultant on how to put financial education within their curriculum. Mm-hmm. So when COVID hit, schools didn't know how to operate. And the beauty of it was I felt like I was leaving adults behind because all of these schools were reaching out and we're building curriculum everywhere. And in that moment, the market crashed. And for me personally, I was on Wall Street in 2008. I graduated in 2010, but I watched the market crash in 2008. I don't really know what's going on, but I'm seeing what's happening. Yeah. But in 2010, when you're in the bank accounts of billionaires, you're seeing how their portfolios are now growing as a result of the crash. Mm. So I'm watching them make all of this money. I'm seeing when they started investing, yep. when the dips happen, and I knew the power of buying when the market crashes. Mm. And so it's like, I'm not missing this sale. Mm. So market crashes, March 2020, and I'm going shopping. So I'm stuck in the house. I'm like, why don't we just create content and tell the world this is the time to go shopping? So I started to really educate adults on investing because schools shut down. So I'm educating the world. We started to launch class. That's when we started to create classes and programs. And it just started to work. And in 2020, we launched what today is our Wealth Builders Community app, which is like the Netflix of finance. So we started out with no classes. Now we got over 250 hours of classes. We literally have opened over 30,000 brokerage accounts. Mm-hmm. Just in 2 years, our members have invested $4 million. And these are people who didn't have a brokerage wow. account, didn't know what a stock was. But we have people building portfolios of $25,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, building passive income with their dividend investments in multiple countries. And so this year alone, we're on track to have over 10,000 members. But the biggest thing now is Empify is becoming the middleman. Mm-hmm. Because I understand how the banking system works. I don't want to be a bank. I don't want to be a brokerage account. I don't want to be that. But I understand how they work, and I know that I have your customer. Because what happens is when you get the education, you will realize the banking system has the resources you need, mm-hmm. but there's a lack of trust.
Yes.
There's a lack of understanding. Big words, big numbers. We then translate Wall Street knowledge so that the everyday person, one, understands it, mm-hmm. but believes that they deserve it.
Yeah.
So when we break down the mental barriers that America doesn't want to break down, and now you then realize I can do this. Hey, this woman, this company lets me know I can. They're loving me through my lows. They're celebrating me on my highs. And they're telling me it doesn't matter how much money I have. It's okay for me to start small and build big over time. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, the people who started with their first $10 now have over $10,000. Now we're having a conversation. Well, what are we doing for your children? Mm-hmm. What happens, God forbid, something happens to you? How are we properly passing it down so that we don't have to repeat the cycle of having to build from the beginning? Mm-hmm. What does it look like if we build those Wall Street clients? Mm-hmm. What does it look like if we provide what Wall Street gave that individual that had at least $25 million, but we build that same infrastructure for the everyday person? So now what's happening is Empify is becoming that holistic wealth management platform mm-hmm. where we're not just talking about stocks. We're having conversations about life insurance. We're having conversations about estate planning. We're having conversations on how to effectively teach and educate and build wealth for your children. We're talking about retirement. We're giving you the mentality shift that you need to holistically look at your life and your money completely different, because you shouldn't have to walk on the 27th floor where I work to know how to grow your wealth, preserve your wealth, and protect it. We don't talk about protecting our wealth in the Black community because we don't even think we have it. So let's address why you think you don't have it, and let's talk about how Black people have trillions of dollars of buying power. We are not broke. We keep America going. Mm. If there were no Black people spending their money, there is no stock market. Mm. So now let me tell you how valuable you are and how valuable your dollar is. And granted, I like nice things. Let's go shop. But we can also own these billion-dollar, trillion-dollar businesses that we've helped become trillion-dollar businesses. And so for us, we're now that holistic platform where you can learn every aspect of money the same exact way Wall Street did for their wealthy clients. Mm,
love it, love it. And so when you look at your clients now, and you know, with a goal of you know creating 10,000 or on track to mm-hmm. you know to have 10,000 members this year, for somebody watching right now who has never invested, who is afraid of the stock market, right? Because you know, and I love how you phrased it, where in 2020, as the market was crashing, you say, "Yo, it's on sale, right? Let me go shopping." Unfortunately, in our community, it's the opposite, right? You know, we'll watch Macy's go on sale, and Black Friday, and we'll be in there when it comes to material items. But when it comes to investing, when things are on the rise, that's when we potentially want to jump in. But then when things are on sale, we're afraid of it. What is that first step for somebody who's never invested before? What would you say, they should be doing in order to get comfortable with investing and getting in the game?
Well, the first thing is you have to give people a reality check. How has saving your way and working your way to wealth been going for you? Like, you can't save or work your way to wealth. And I think we have to shift our mindset of being afraid to having to work for the rest of our life. Why does it seem like we all know people who have a good job, save good money, probably got a house, but they're still not financially set, right? And they seem to be working the hardest, yeah. But the people who have the most seem to be working the smartest, right? So I think we need to remove the barrier around the thought process around, I'm scared. No, let's be scared that the wealth gap got bigger when they gave out $2 trillion of stimulus checks. How did America give out free money, but the wealth gap got bigger? Because what we were doing with that money wasn't allowing us to build wealth. It was allowing the people who pretty much invest in the stock market, because the stock market killed it. Yeah. Like, so either way, the point I'm making is you got to address the fact and leave your emotions at home. Yeah. Because building wealth has nothing to do with your feelings. You can't go into this being emotional, being fear-driven. You got to know how much does your family's legacy matter to you, because at this point, it's riding on you now. Yeah. If you want to break generational curses, the president's not going to do it. Yes. No president has ever done it. The school system's not going to do it. So the person in the mirror, what are you going to do to play this money game? And you also have to understand, if you didn't grow up with wealth or surrounded by people who have wealth, why do you believe that you know how to do it? And we spend so much time beating ourselves up without recognizing you weren't put in the best position to build wealth anyway. Yeah. But now it's a whole different time.
Yeah.
You now have the power to write the next chapter of your life. The question is, what are we writing?
Yeah.
And so the first thing I always tell people is to do an inventory check of where you spend your money, right? A stock is not a price, it's a piece of a company. So if you want to own a piece of a company, ask yourself, of the companies you know today, who would you want to be part owner of? And the easiest way to think about it is, who do you give your money to? Because a stock becomes more powerful, a company becomes more powerful with the more money that they make. During a pandemic, Amazon crossed $100 billion in 90 days. All because we were stuck in the house, we wanted to go shopping. You mean to tell me you are okay with spending every dollar you have at Amazon, at Target, on your iPhone, utilizing Google, utilizing Instagram, not recognizing, I just named the biggest companies in America, you know, like by market cap. So at the end of the day, it's recognizing there is no America without you. All I'm saying is, why not get a piece of the pie? And you do that by investing in the stock market. Because another way you can say, all right, go start your business. Everybody wants to start a business, but why isn't everybody successful? Yeah. It's a lot easier for me to invest in an Amazon stock than it is for me to run Empify, right? It was way easier on Wall Street.
Yeah.
At least I had security. I could predict when my check was coming. And granted, being an employee and employer both have their pros and their cons, but everybody's not built for this entrepreneurship life. But everybody, all you need is a social security number. And even if you don't live in America, everybody can buy stock in a publicly traded company.
Right.
There's stock markets all over the world. We have people graduating our REIT programs, our stock programs from Africa, from Kenya, from Australia. People of all shapes and sizes, all different colors, all different ages, all different religions, because wealth does not have a color. And so you have to do an inventory check of, where are you spending your money? Who's getting all your time? Chances are, it's a $1 billion publicly traded company. What you use every single day, what you eat, what you drive, the gas you pump, the clothes you wear, the apps you use, like the phone, your cell phone provider. Like, these are companies that are keeping the rich rich. While you might not have that $25 million that they had on Wall Street, what if you have $25? Because now, back when I left Wall Street, you couldn't do this, but you could buy stock for $25 now, and not pay a transaction fee. I used to pay like $10 every time I processed a transaction. So the world is different. And it's shifting, because it's shifting and allowing the everyday person to get access to something that they always had access to, just didn't believe they could play the game.
Right.
Now you got people that look like me, black and brown people from all over the world, talking about building wealth. And now we're now realizing, I can do this. Empify is here to tell you, we are about to do this. Yeah. I'm going to show you how to do this. And I'm not stopping until we get this done.
Yeah. No, I love it. And so talk to me a little bit about real estate, right? Because... I know through my years in, teaching or even, managing money for wealthy individuals, I know that most individuals that I know who have money are invested in real estate some way, shape, form, or fashion. You have been very vocal about your love of REITs, mm-hmm. right? What are REITs and why do you believe they should be part of someone's investment strategy?
So a REIT is a real estate investment trust. It's where you, the everyday person, can invest in an income in a real estate company that invests in income producing commercial real estate. So we're talking about malls, shopping centers, hospitals, grocery stores, billboards, data warehouses, hotels, right? Amusement parks. Because one out of every three buildings are owned by a REIT. It's either owned by a person, a company, or a REIT. So when you look at your skyline, you go to a major mall like Simon or Lenox and Phipps in Atlanta, like these are owned by real estate investment trusts. And so, but they were created so that the everyday person could build an income investing in commercial real estate without the headache of managing a property, without the headache of having to go to the bank, borrow money, using a credit score. So it's a way for the everyday person to build wealth. So the way I look at it is people every day talk themselves out of building wealth. Like, we get scared when the market crashes, but when the market's up, oh, it's too expensive. Like, we talk ourselves out of building wealth every day. So because I know you have a mental block, because I know you're scared, right, I'm going to give you something that's less risky than buying a growth stock. Because I know you want passive income, I'm going to show you a way to get a dividend investment that pays out 4-17%, right? Because you, it's hard and it's complicated, it don't get no more basic than a REIT, right? Mm-hmm. Because you want to get into real estate, but then you say, I don't have good credit. Cool, you don't need credit to buy a REIT. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't have time. Good thing. It takes less than 10 minutes to research a REIT and buy a REIT. It takes 5 seconds to buy a REIT. But you want to build passive income. I want to get into real estate. Oh, I don't have a lot of money. Cool, most REITs are less than $200. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, Empify was designed so that there is no way you could argue for your limits.
Is your vehicle stopping like it should? Does it squeal or grind when you brake? Don't miss out on summer brake deals at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Without us being able to provide you with a solution to still help you build wealth.
Yeah.
So I own REITs at $10. Mm-hmm. I own REITs at $100. But do I have the time, Ashley Marie Fox, to go out and build them all? Mm. No. But I want the passive income that they get. Mm-hmm. Do I have time to manage tenants? No, I don't want to, right? Do I want to go borrow money from the bank? No. Do I want to go buy a property and take hundreds of thousands of dollars? No, I'm putting that back in my tech company. Mm-hmm. So REITs are not for everybody, right? Yeah. I know people that buy direct real estate. That's completely fine.
Yeah.
But for the people who don't have a lot of money, what are you doing? Savings account? Mm. That ain't about to get you nowhere. You can't save your way to wealth. And interest rates are about to go down on your savings account as REIT prices are going to go up and dividends are going to go up because interest rates are going back down. Mm-hmm. So it's a way for the everyday person to build wealth. The other thing, too, on Wall Street, the way a portfolio is allocated, 80% of a client's wealth is in a marketable security, meaning your stocks, your bonds, your mutual funds, ETFs, things that you can sell easily and turn into cash. 10% is just in cash. The other 10% is what's called the alternative investment. An alternative investment is an investment that can grow tremendously, but you can't sell it immediately, like real estate, like private investments, right? So you can't just go buy a property and then flip it tomorrow. It takes time to do that. You can't just go buy a property without utilizing capital, without utilizing a lot of time. REITs allow you to do that. And so while, yes, we can utilize real estate and buy direct properties, which is completely fine, like without a doubt, not everybody can do that. Mm. And this is, so for me, REITs are for the people who say, I want to do something, but I don't have a lot. Cool, let's start with $10. Mm. And you're going to get passive income. Now, how big or how small your passive income is dictated by what you commit to the process.
Right.
The same way you buy a house for $100,000, let's say they pay you $1,000 a month in rent. Mm. But if you want $10,000 in rental income, you got to buy 10 properties.
Exactly.
The same thing works with a REIT. You might get your first $10, but if you want $100, you have to buy more shares of the REIT. But in this case, you don't have to worry about how much it costs because it's inexpensive. You don't have to worry about your time. You can have your job. You can do everything you want to do. So it's a way for our community to stop complaining about what they can't do. Mm. Now, here's another way for you to do it. Now, whether you choose to do it or not, that's fine. But essentially, at this point in my life and where I was when I first learned about REITs, I was watching our clients, trust fund babies, make $60,000, $70,000 a year. And I'm just like, where are they getting this money from?
Yeah.
And the portfolio was barely moving. And that's when I learned what a dividend was. Mm. So it's like, okay, well, what are these dividend investments that they're living off of their kids? Forget the parents.
Right.
I'm talking about the kids.
Right.
That they're living off of. what are they doing? And that's when I learned about dividend stocks, was when I learned about REITs. And it's like, well, darn, I live in Harlem. Mm-hmm. I'm not buying a property. I already got student loans and credit card debt. I don't want to borrow any money. I don't even know where I'm going to be in the next 10 years, let alone buying a house. What if I can start building passive income? What if I can get my first $500 a year, then next year get my next $2,000 a year, $10,000, $20,000? Because I always tell people, if you can work 5, 10, 15, 20 years of your life, you better be okay with investing just as long. Mm. The only difference is when I build my passive income portfolio, or if you're at a job and you're building this passive income portfolio, and it takes you 10 years to replace your income, REITs by law have to pay out dividends. Mm. It's the law, because they don't pay corporate taxes. So now you have someone that has to pay you passive income, because 90% of their profits has to go to all their shareholders. Mm. As long as you're a shareholder, you are entitled to that passive income. Mm. So you can get to a space where you're owning stock in companies that own malls, and the malls aren't going anywhere, right, but you're still collecting that passive income because you are part owner of that business. So it's just another route, the same way wholesaling or flipping or rental. It's just another opportunity. You just don't have to use the bank to get into it.
Man, that's game right there, though, because I think that, you know, a lot of people's hesitation in investing is like, hey, if I'm gonna invest this money, you know, they always say invest for the long term, invest for the long term. But if you're investing and now you have your investment with the ability to continue to grow, but then you have these dividends, these shares that they have to pay out, mm-hmm. you know, that's powerful. A lot of our insiders are what we call Henrys, right? So high earners, not rich yet. And you know, they might be making a lot of income, but they're trying to figure out how to make their money work for them. Give me an ideal scenario as it relates to how should someone be breaking down their income. Like, is there a certain amount of percentages that should go towards investment? This percentage go to household? Like, how, you know, what should somebody be doing, or how much money should they be putting aside if they want to start, you know, investing?
I mean, if you ask the finance people in statistics, 10%. But yeah. I don't say 10%, because if you can't do one, you're going to feel like a failure me telling you to do 10. So the easiest thing I tell people when it comes to investing, start with what you're comfortable with.
Yeah.
If you could think about, if you get paid every 2 weeks, pick an amount that you feel comfortable starting out with, mm-hmm. and what you want to feel is not fear that it's going to overdraw your account, but you also want to feel that it pushes you a little bit, right? Just start there, and open your brokerage account, which is the account you need to invest. Have an automatic deposit where the money goes in, and start figuring out what you want to buy. But you got to train yourself in the universe to pay you first. Mm. We make money and we pay everybody. And it's like, we got to pay bills. I got to pay the bartender, the restaurant. I got to pay my rent. I got to pay my car. No, you got to pay everybody. But you look up and say, why don't I have any money? But you expect the government to give it to you. But you don't pay yourself to take care of you first, right? Mm. So I would be wrong to tell people to start with 10%. Because, I mean, that's what they tell you to start setting aside. But what happens is people are driven by progress, not results. Mm. Don't focus on the amount that you're going to start with or feel like a failure if you're starting small. Because you can $5 your way to $1 million. Mm. The problem is we're afraid to start with $5 because we don't have $1 million. Mm. So I think it's starting small. And what I do personally is every 90 days, I increase all my numbers. Mm. Every investment account that I have where I'm setting money aside, or even savings account when I'm saving for short-term needs, every 90 days I'm increasing it. Mm. So it trains yourself to not feel like you're... And sometimes when I was first starting out, I would just add an extra $20 every 90 days. Mm. Next thing you know, you're setting aside $500, you're setting aside a bunch of money, but you've slowly progressed. Mm. The problem is we don't want to start. So I'm not the finance person to tell you take 10% of your money, which is fine. But if you don't have 10 because you're overdrawing your account, what can you do?
Yeah.
How do we start? Because most people don't live check to check. We spend check to check. Mm. So how about
that's a bar right there. That's a bar.
Yeah. How do we build a spending plan? Yeah. And in your spending plan, you allocate a certain amount of money to just start investing.
Yeah.
Like, and it has to come out automatically.
Yeah.
So you don't even see it coming out, and spend your time learning and deciding. If you had to build a basketball team, You only need five players on the court to win a championship. Right. If you could pick your top five players, pick your top five players that'll take you to the next level. I always tell people, pick your top five growth stocks, which are the stocks that don't pay that dividend, that extra income, that passive income, and pick your top five dividend investments. Mm-hmm. And find the ones that will take you to where you want to go. And just like any basketball team, you have to evaluate every player. Sometimes you got to switch it up, you got to trade, but you're always watching the plays, watching the tapes, building your team. And it's like, if you care about all your money, you got to care about where it's going. The problem is we're not giving it a job. So I really believe that if we just start with what we can and increase it over time, but be obsessed with learning, be obsessed with growing, be obsessed with getting educated to put your money to work, that obsession will take you to the next level versus feeling like I can't do it, don't have money, this is too hard, but then get frustrated with your life knowing you want to do more with it.
Yeah. And so are investments risky? Like, can you lose all of your money? Like, if somebody decides, hey, you know what? I love this. I'm going to start building my investment portfolio. Is this like a gamble? Is there a way that you could put your money in and then lose all of it?
So I'm not a trader. Mm-hmm. And I make that very clear. Yeah. I am not the girl you come to flip your money to get rich quick. Yeah. I don't trade. I have held stock for 12 years. Mm. Companies that, like, I own stock in Amazon. This is not financial advice. This is educational purposes only. But Amazon to me is a marriage. Till death do us part. I'm with you through the long haul. I also know you are the number two employer in America. America can't live without Amazon. When they say too big to fail, they do bail out companies that do create jobs that help the money circulate through this country. But when I think about investing, of course it's risky because you're buying a piece of a business. Like, I run a company, Empify. Like, we have our highs, we have our lows. There's no company that is perfect. Like, just the other day, the market was, I don't know if Facebook is going to come back. They're putting all this money. They, you know, I don't know. Is Facebook no longer a growth stock? Is it a core stock? Next thing you know, they shoot up.
Right.
I look at the stock market, it's like high school. One day they love you. When you're hot, you're hot. When you're not hot, they don't care about you. Like, when I talk about REITs are not hot. They are not always in the news. They are not flipping your money. They are boring, reliable, income-producing investments. To some people, that's boring. To me, I like it. Now, do I put all my money in REITs? Absolutely not. But I still like that income that it produces, as well as me running my business. And so it's not a gamble. It's a way to live life. Investing is a standard, not an option. If you look at it like a gamble, do you think you're just flipping your money? No, a gamble is working for the next 50 years of your life and not having a plan for when you leave, because if Social Security runs out, what are we going to do, right? So in this case, we can't rely solely on our job. We can't rely solely on our benefits. We got to look in the mirror and say, I own this. Like, this is my life. This is my family. This is my legacy. And if investing can put me in the best position to build. Now, again, this is not for people who want to flip. Because billionaires don't become billionaires by flipping in the market. First off, we really want to be honest. The billionaires that are traders in the market own the hedge funds. And the hedge funds are equivalent to a wealthy person. A hedge fund is equivalent to a wealthy person trading. So the everyday person is like, the everyday person might buy stocks in the market, things like that. That's equivalent to what I did working with the financial institution that I worked at, right? But a portion of their wealth went to a hedge fund. They're taking all the risk. When you buy stock at Amazon and you buying it and hold it, that's not flipping your money. You're buying, you're more of an investor versus a trader. Now, can you trade some of your money? Absolutely. But why would you trade all of it? Right? Would you depend on longevity to put your kid through college with the penny stock, or the $1 trillion business that America can't live without? You have to take into consideration what type of investor are you and how much of your money is allocated in certain places. Do I put all my money in dividend stocks? No, I don't. The 80% of my money is in growth stocks, but I do have some dividend investments. But again, everybody's different. I got people in our community that are 73. They're not trying to buy a penny stock. But they're looking for longevity and stability. So that's a different type of conversation. So you can't say it's a gamble unless you have the mentality of somebody who wants to gamble. I'm not a gambler. The biggest risk I take is on Ashley Marie Fox running my company. Empify is more riskier than the stocks that I buy. But again, it's all about perception and how you look at it. But can you lose money? For sure. But you only guarantee a loss when you sell. If you bought a house for $200,000 and the property dropped to $100,000, are you selling it? If you bought a property right now,
No way.
Why wouldn't you sell it? Lost money.
Right. I'm going to wait till it bounced back.
But you lost money. It's a bad investment.
Right.
But but you want it to bounce back. So why can't you do that with a stock? Especially if you still believe in a company. The other thing too, people don't realize, companies don't just fall off the face of the earth.
Right.
Every 90 days they report financials. Right. If you find your company is slowly declining, Wall Street will tell you, the stock price will tell you. Companies have to report their financials. So it's not like you wake up one day and the company is gone. Right. You, as an investor, are it's a publicly traded company. So you're able to see their company, everything the company does with their money. So you're able to see what they're spending, what they're making, and what Wall Street projects, and based off of the research that they do, what that company is expected to do. Not all companies live up to the expectation of Wall Street.
Yeah.
And not every company is profitable. Like, for example, GameStop. I mean, granted, that was a whole unique. But GameStop was on the verge of bankruptcy. The financials said it. And I mean, again, look at the company now. So companies just don't fall off the face of the earth in a second. Companies gradually decline. So it's your job as the investor. It's like if you were to buy stock in my company, this goes for anybody. You buy stock in my company, Empify, what do you want to know about me? You want to know if I'm making money, if I have debt. You want to know my competitors. You want to know my vision. You want to know everything we're doing because you're part owner of my company. That's exactly how you got to treat a stock. So can Empify not exist? Can we lose money? For sure. But just as much as we can go down, we can go up, you know, and that comes with the territory of business. Business is ran by people. Yeah. People are emotional. People are humans. Mm-hmm. No company is always up and not every company is always down. But the winners are the winners. And it shows in the market capitalization of these companies that run America. So and again, I'm talking like a Wall Street person. So it's so matter of fact in my mind. But if you let go of this is not a gamble, this is a way of life.
Yeah.
This is how I'm going to build. This is how I'm going to sustain. This is how I'm going to retire. Then yes, it is possible to live off investments and to build a portfolio that can help you sustain and grow your wealth, for sure.
What are the dangers, right? Like, what are the dangers of somebody not investing? Somebody's like, you know what? I'm just gonna save. I'm gonna work hard. I'm gonna start a business. I'm not gonna invest at all. Is there any danger to building wealth going that route?
I don't know anybody that got rich off of saving.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody that retires off of a savings account. Yeah. Savings account interest rates go up and down based on the economy. You know, so, I'm not here to tell people the whole world that they have to invest in the stock market.
Yeah.
But I do have to tell you, you have to invest in something.
Yeah.
Because if the majority of all your money, if all your money is going to investing in somebody else's business, you working backwards.
Yeah.
If you're going to keep shopping at Amazon, you're going to keep shopping at Target, you keep giving all of your money to someone else but complaining you don't have money, goes to show me you value Jeff Bezos, then you value your family's legacy, right?
Yeah.
So, and you can't pass down debt. So not everybody has to invest in the stock market. I personally did not see any billionaire or multimillionaire on Wall Street that did not have a portion of their wealth in the stock market. And you get to a space where you recognize the stock market is your savings account.
Mm.
When I left Wall Street and I quit my job and I lost everything, I got kicked out of my apartment, I didn't pull money from a savings account.
Mm.
I pulled it out my investments because they were up 20%.
Mm.
So in my mind, again, can't tell everybody that they got to go invest, but you better invest in something because America teaches you to go to school, get a job, pay for school.
Yeah.
And buy a house.
Yeah.
And guess who makes money off of you buying houses? The financial institutions.
Right.
So while they're encouraging you as the number one marketer in the world, United States of America, as they're encouraging you to buy, they're giving you credit cards, they're telling you to buy a home, guess who's making money? Why is it okay for the bank to take your money out of your checking or savings account and loan it out to somebody else, and then they go trade money on your behalf, but you don't get any of the proceeds?
Right.
Why is it that your retirement accounts, the companies you work for, have investment accounts with their money, but you won't mimic that? It's how America is built, right? But again, we are the consumers. If we stop spending and taking out debt, there is no America. There is no stock market. That's why they gave you free money when the world started to fall apart. It's just getting into a space where you're at least putting your money to work. You can choose how you put it to work, but you can't just put it in a savings account. You can't just spend your way to wealth. But the easiest way to make money off of America is to invest in America's businesses because you're already their customers.
Yeah. And you mentioned something earlier that I want to circle back on. You mentioned that during COVID, there was about $2 trillion, pumped into the economy. And as a result of that, the wealth gap started to widen even more. Presidential year, election year, I hear a lot of talk about reparations, right? Mm-hmm. Does that mean it, as it relates to reparation, Would that mean that if reparations are given in the form of cash, would that at some point continue to increase the wealth gap? What's your thought on that?
I'm a firm believer that making more money does not solve the problem. Mm. Because you can give someone with a broke mentality millions of dollars, they energetically will go back to their identity. Mm. You have to change the identity of the person, not give them more money. Ooh. If you have perfected being a consumer, giving you more money is not going to change your thought process. If you are not educated on investing, know the importance of investing, know what to do with money, then why would you know what to do with more? But you can't save a dime. If you can't save a dime out of a dollar, you'll never save a million out of 10. Mm. So it's about changing the way we think, our identity around money, and that will change our bank account. So I'm a firm believer, giving the world more money is not going to fix it. Yeah. It will just cause the people who have already built America, mastered America, became the consumers in America, to allow the companies to get more and have more. And the people who own stock in the companies you give your money to, they're going to get richer. All I'm saying is I like nice things, but what if you owned a piece of the companies that you naturally give your money to anyway? And a lot of them pay dividends. So what if you can maximize off price growth and get cash flow every 90 days for every share that you own? So I'm just, my personal opinion, giving the world more money is not going to fix the problem in America.
Yeah.
Because they did it.
Yeah.
And we still don't have money. They gave you free money.
Yeah.
We still don't have enough. We still hate our jobs. We still are afraid to invest. It's still like gambling, which goes to show you we didn't change the people who've been given the money. We didn't change the people who have been given the money. We just gave them. We just put a Band-Aid on the problem. The problem isn't a lack of money in our community. We have the power. Mm. We have it. We just don't have the education, the motivation, or the environment to cultivate what we need to do with that money. You're talking to somebody who worked on Wall Street. Like, my environment was wealth. Like, I didn't grow up around this. Like, my family didn't start buying stocks until I opened all their brokerage accounts. My family didn't start getting life insurance until I was like, I'm paying for the life insurance policy. But where did that come from? I saw rich people doing it. I wanted to do what they were doing. And so I just feel like fixing the problem is getting to the root of why we are the way we are. Why are we scared, right? Mm. And granted, a lot of it is history. Yeah. But again, if we allow history to dictate our future, we're going to repeat the same cycle every generation.
Yeah, oh, that's a big fact. That's a big fact. And so let's talk about Empify for a second. So, we watched the iteration of, first going into schools, going into the prison systems, educating the youth, to COVID and, educating the parents and building this, wealth builders community. Where do you want to see Empify go? What is the future of Empify?
So Empify will be both a brick and mortar and online platform that gives adults and children access to financial education in the palm of their hand. Mm. So what Kleenex is to tissues is what Empify is to money. Mm. I want to grow Empify to a point where I haven't decided if I wanted to be one of the very few black women who run a publicly traded company, but if I do decide to have an exit, my number is no less than $3 billion. Mm. Empify is and will continue to become the middleman that Wall Street needs to get access to the everyday person. Mm. We get you to a space where you are financially educated on every product and service that is available to you that can help give you the life that you need financially and the life for your family. Now, we translate the knowledge, we give you the resources, we give you access to the people, we vet the people that can give you the resources, and we create a safe environment. So ideally, you will walk down the street, see an Empify building, your kid is learning about money or getting their first job, they went to the Empify school to get that education. Mm. We want to get the world to a point where you don't have to learn about money after making a mistake. Mm. We want to get you there before you make the mistake and give you the education before you start touching money, before you get your first job, before you start going to college, and get you into a space where you're not dependent on the banking system. You're making money with the banking system.
Where do you go after that, right? So now, if you were to rewind time with everything that you know now, with all the knowledge and everything that you've been able to build, what advice would you give to 18-year-old Ashley?
Go to therapy. Mm. 18-year-old Ashley, 18-year-old Ashley, I was about to graduate high school. I was an overachiever. Mm. I was an overachiever. I needed things to validate who I was. I needed money to justify my existence. Mm. And I had to get to the root of where that came from. Like, why didn't I like the woman in the mirror? Why was I so successful but so unhappy? Mm. It took me, maybe 7 years ago? Mm. I went on TV and I never wanted to be in the public eye. I wanted to create something that the world needed. And I didn't need the world to know who I was to give them a financial education. But I started to go on TV. I started to write for Forbes. Like, it was like the world was given all these opportunities. And a mentor of mine said, it's selfish of you to hide who you are from the world knowing what you know about the world. Mm. And so in that moment, I kind of accepted, this is who Ashley is, but I can't survive if I'm in the public eye. Because I didn't like the woman I saw on TV. Now, aesthetically, I looked good. What I said was perfect. But I knew if I did this more, I wasn't ready for it. And I didn't have the answers. So I figured, why not go to therapy to help get some answers? And so I started to go to therapy. I was nervous, very uncomfortable. And I always give therapists 3 tries. Like, I'll go to 3 sessions. If you could break an Ashley Fox, then you're good. And I cried my 3rd session. And when I cried, I was like, oh, lady, you good. I didn't even know I could cry because I was tough.
Yeah.
I would say at 18 years old, I didn't know I was hurting. I didn't know I was broken. I didn't know the age that I was and the accolades I have and the success I had. I didn't know that it was driven through pain.
Yeah.
I thought it was just, you know, I'm just Ashley Fox. I'm winning all these things, but I'm still on the outside I looked good, but on the inside I felt broken.
Yeah.
And I knew that at some point the curtain would reveal the brokenness of who I was. And so I just went to therapy. So if I could have went to therapy just a little bit earlier, I mean, granted, my life worked out the way it's supposed to work out, but I would tell Ashley to go to therapy. I would also tell Ashley, like, it's going to be okay. Everything you feel, everything you want, you are not crazy. The world is ready for you. Just keep on living the life that you're living and trust your heart and don't let anybody stop you. And so I think I lived like that, but I could have did it with a little bit more ease, a little less tears,
right.
If I would have went to some therapy sessions.
Right. And then so now, you know, you've been able to build a very successful business. Like you mentioned earlier, you got the ups, the downs. You know, what advice do you have for our entrepreneurs out there, right? Those who are trying to, whether they working 9-to-5 and trying to, you know, build a business at the same time, or you might have our full-time entrepreneurs who just can't catch a break, who they're trying to figure it out. What advice would you have for those folks?
Go to therapy.
Yeah.
Entrepreneurship is not about money. It's not about business. It's not about the customer. It's about the person running the business and the mental fortitude and love that you have for yourself. Because it's a mental battle. When I was building Empify, I was getting kicked out of an apartment. I had no money. I was sleeping on my parents' couch for 2 years. But because of what I saw, kept me going. But I didn't think I was good enough. How could I teach the world about money and I don't have any money, right? But I knew I was going to become that Wall Street client because I could see it. And I think if you get so crystal clear on what you can see, nobody's going to understand. Nobody's going to believe. But if what you see drives you, not that negative bank account, not that customer that doesn't come through. If you can see what's possible and you lean onto that, you're going to grow every single day, every single year, and start to document the wins. And so, like, I'm reading a book, 10X, and I'm, like, obsessed with a lot of the stuff I knew, but they talk about the gain and the gap. I never looked at life like that. Yeah. I always looked at how far I was from that vision.
Yeah.
Where you're looking at the gap, but when you look at the gain, it's kind of like, well, what did you do today and where did you start? And so that's just a different mentality. So I think focusing on what you're thinking about as you're matriculating through entrepreneurship, but I would be lying if you would have told me that I would go through what I went through to be where I'm at today or even what I'm going through now, I would have questioned leaving Wall Street to do this. I would. Now, I didn't leave for the money.
Yeah.
I left to change the world. And so I'm not driven by money. So you also got to ask yourself, are you looking for the money? Or are you looking for the fame? I'm looking for the impact. I left a good job to work with people who didn't have a lot of money, right? Like, you can give me $100 million right now. I'm going to wake up every single day to do what I do.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm going to grow into the woman I need to be to change the world. But I never did this for money. And so if you are a business owner just looking to make money, your intentions are coming from a place of lack. You just want to make money because you don't have it. But for me, I went into business to change the world. There was no lack. I was already abundant, trying to share my abundance with the world to show them that we all can have this. So going into business with the mentality of you are valuable, you are loved, you can do this, you are phenomenal, and nobody can do it better than you. Every day you have to do everything to reinforce that in your mind, which takes practice, which takes resources, which takes people, which takes an environment. And I can say that eventually you'll get to a space where it's like, oh, this works. Like, it was a point of Empify where it was like, we're good. Let's go bigger. Mm. It took a long, like going into schools, pitching financial education. How can we go pitch a topic that the world doesn't know, mm-hmm. not even the people making the decisions at the school mm-hmm. know, mm-hmm. to have a topic that they've never seen before. Yeah. But it's like, how did Steve Jobs build Apple? How did Jay-Z become Jay-Z? There was no blueprint. You are the blueprint. Mm-hmm. And that is a very lonely road. It's a very difficult road. But if you can see crystal clear where you're going and what you want, mm-hmm. you got to lead with that. And then over time, the money starts to come, the customers start to come. But even now, even then, it's just a process and a journey that you have to learn how to enjoy, because even making millions of dollars, I'm still confused. I'm still lost. I still don't think I know what I'm doing. Yeah. I still doubt myself. Yeah. Like, every level of entrepreneurship is something you've never seen before. There is no book. There is no soul mentor. Mm-hmm. You got to rely on you, which is why the best person you got to take care of is you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I have been the employee.
Yeah.
I work for my business. Mm-hmm. I run a business. They all have their pros and cons.
Yeah.
And it's not for everybody. But when you want something so big, that's outside of you,
yeah.
and you're willing to do whatever it takes and lose everything for it, mm. you can't top that.
Yeah.
That's the entrepreneur that I would invest in, because there is no plan B for me. Empify has to work, or it has to work.
Yeah. No, I love that. That's a different perspective, right? Because a lot of times, when this is the first time I've heard that as the answer, right? Where when you ask people about advice towards entrepreneurship, it is the practical things within mm-hmm. That you go through as a business owner. But I think that's a unique perspective. And, you know, as I think about it, it's the right perspective, right? Because at the end of the day, you don't get what you want, you get what you are.
Yeah.
Right. And so if you're looking for success, you have to become success. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for triumph, like you have to be what you desire. And so as an entrepreneur, that's why personal development, that's why digging deep within yourself is very, very important. If somebody wanted to join Empify, they wanted to connect with you, what's their first step?
So we go to empify.com, empify.com. We got a lot of free resources, free classes, the Wealth Builders community, empify.com/WB. Social media, I am _AshleyMFox, or Wealth Builders community, or Empify across all platforms. Or you can just shoot me an email, info@empify.com. I'm always there. We are always there. There's no stupid question. But our job is to really financially impact the world, no matter how much money you do or do not have. We all can be the 1%. But 1% is a mindset before it's a bank account balance. Mm.
1% is a mindset. Listen, what I told y'all, Inside the Vault, the greatest money mindset show on the planet. 1%, that's a t-shirt. 1% is a mindset. What you said? 1% is a mindset, not a bank account. Ooh, I love that. All right, y'all, we are closing out the vault. Another powerful episode of Inside the Vault with Ash Cash, the greatest money mindset show on the planet. Make sure you go to our website, insidethevaultshow.com. Follow us on all social media platforms at Inside the Vault. Me, I am Ash Cash. Make sure you visit me, IamAshCash.com. Follow me on all social media platforms at IamAshCash. Look, make sure y'all join the Abundance Community, where abundance is your birthright. Go to TheAbundanceCommunity.com, and I'm going to see you next time, same place, in God's will. All right, y'all. Peace.